Today we're tightening an old-school DNB kick so it hits heavier, reads cleaner, and barely touches your CPU in Ableton Live 12. And this matters because old-school kicks are tricky. In the sample pack, they often sound massive, warm, and full of attitude, but once you drop them into a 170 to 175 BPM arrangement with a bassline, breaks, and maybe some reese pressure, that same kick can suddenly feel soft, blurry, or just too long. So the goal here is not to sterilize it. We're not turning it into a modern techno thud. We're keeping the character, but making the kick punchier, tighter, and more usable in a dense DNB mix. We're going to do that with stock Ableton tools only, and we're going to think like advanced producers. Not just how loud is it, but what job is this kick doing in the track? First, choose the right kick source. You want a sample that already has the right attitude. Think dusty 90s kicks, sampled drum machine kicks, short acoustic style kicks with a low mid thump, or layered old school kicks with a slightly soft transient. What you do not want is a giant EDM kick with a long subtail, or a super flat overcompressed hit that's already been squeezed to death. Also, avoid kicks with too much click if your break already gives you plenty of attack. For this style, the sweet spot is usually a kick with weight around 90 to 140 Hz, some punch in the 180 to 250 Hz area, and not much useless rumble below 40 Hz. That low end should feel authoritative, not bloated. Now tighten the sample at the source before you reach for processing. Open the clip and look at the waveform closely. If it's a one-shot and timing is already fine, try warp off for the cleanest transient. Only turn warp on if you need timing correction. Then trim the start so the transient begins immediately, and use clip gain to level match the sample before any defects. This is a very important step. A lot of bad kick problems are actually just sample editing problems. If the tail is too long, shorten it manually, zoom in, pull the end marker inward, and leave just enough sustain for body, not mud. In a fast DNB arrangement, even 20 to 50 milliseconds too much tail can smear the groove and fight the bass. Now let's build a minimal CPU kick chain. The order I like is EQ8, then drum bus, then saturator, then utility. That's it for most situations. Simple, efficient, and musical. Start with EQ8. Use it to clean first, then sculpt second. If there's useless sub rumble, high pass gently around 20 to 30 Hz. If the kick feels boxy or cloudy, try a small cut somewhere around 250 to 400 Hz. If it needs a little more body, a gentle boost around 90 to 120 Hz can help. And if the kick isn't reading clearly enough, a very subtle presence lift around 2 to 4 kHz can help it speak. But keep it tasteful. In DNB, the kick should sit with the bassline, not bully it. And here's a coach note worth remembering. Tightness is often a low mid issue, not a sub issue. If the kick feels lazy, the problem is often that 180 to 350 Hz area smearing into the next beat. A tiny cut there can make the hit feel way more agile than any sub boost ever will. Next, use drum bus. This is one of the best stock devices in Ableton for this job, because it adds punch, harmonics, and transient control without being heavy on CPU. Start modest, drive around 5 to 15%, boom low, maybe 0 to 15%, and tune the boom frequency around 80 to 110 Hz, depending on where the kick naturally speaks. If you need more knock, push the transient up slightly. If the low end gets too soft or too smeared, back off the boom before you start over-reking everything. This device is especially good for old-school DNB because it can add that slightly gritty, punchy impact that works so well in jungle and darker rollers. After that, use saturator for density. Don't overdo it. We're talking maybe 1 to 4 dB of drive, soft clip-on, and output matched so you're making fair comparisons. If the kick needs a little more edge, you can try a more clipped curve, but the goal is not obvious distortion. The goal is harmonic density. Saturation helps the kick cut through without needing more low-end volume, which is perfect when the bass line is already occupying the sub. Then put utility at the end. Keep the kick mono. Set width to 0% if there's any stereo spread at all. Use gain for level matching. In DNB, mono kick is almost always the right move. It translates better, hits cleaner, and keeps the low end much easier to control. Now, if the kick still feels thin, don't immediately pile more processing on one sample. Split the job between layers. This is the smarter move a lot of the time. Duplicate the kick track. Keep one layer as the original attack and character. Then use a second layer for body. On that second layer, choose a shorter or deeper kick sample, or duplicate the same sample and low pass it with EQ8, so everything above roughly 150 to 200 Hz is trimmed away. You can give it a touch of drum bus too, but keep it subtle. Lower that layer until you just feel it more than hear it. This gives you weight without forcing one sample to do everything. And it's still extremely light on CPU, especially compared with stacking complicated multiband tools or heavy transient plugins. If you need extra definition, because the kick is disappearing under breaks and bass, add a click layer. This should be super short and barely audible by itself. Good sources are rimshot like transients, short acoustic clicks, Foley hits, or even the attack from another kick sample. High pass it aggressively, maybe somewhere around 400 to 800 Hz, and keep it low in level. This is especially useful in chopped amen tunes or dark halftime, where the kick has to survive dense rhythmic material. A big part of making the kick feel strong is just editing the envelope properly. Trim the tail, remove silence at the front, and if there's a tiny click at the end, use a small fade out. You can also use the clip volume envelope to slightly soften the tail if needed. This kind of micro editing often does more than another plugin. Old school kicks can sound great solo with a natural decay, but in a fast mix that same decay can be too long. Tightening it instantly makes the groove feel faster and more focused. Now let's talk about the bass, because the kick only feels heavy if the bass gets out of the way properly. Use Ableton's compressor on the bass track with sidechain from the kick. A good starting point is a ratio of 2 to 4 to 1, attack around 1 to 5 milliseconds, release around 50 to 120 milliseconds depending on the groove, and threshold set so you're getting about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on each kick. But don't overpump it. For old school DNB, you usually want a short, precise dip, not that huge EDM wobble movement. The kick should hit through, and the bass should return quickly enough to keep the roller moving. And if you want even more precision, with almost no CPU cost, automate the bass volume or clip gain around the kick placements instead of relying only on compression. That's often tighter and cleaner. Now here's the bigger production truth. A kick often feels heavier because of what surrounds it. So use arrangement as a mixing tool. Leave a little space before the kick at the start of a phrase. Remove the bass for the first kick of a bar if you want it to land with extra authority. Let the break chop accent after the kick instead of directly on top of it. And in old-schooler jungle structures, a kick can feel massive simply because it arrives after a reduced low-end section. Then the bass comes back in response. That's not just mix engineering, that's composition. And in DNB, composition is often what makes the kick feel huge. Group your drums and check everything in context. Put the kick, snare, hats, and break chops into a drum group. Then ask the real questions. Does the kick still read when the break is playing? Is the snare masking it? Is the bass line leaving enough space around 100 Hz? And does it still translate on small speakers? Use subtle bus tools if needed. A gentle EQ8 on the drum group can help. A tiny bit of glue compressor can add cohesion, but don't flatten the transients. And keep checking mono with utility. Also, and this is important, don't judge the kick solo for too long. In old school DNB, the kick has to work in side motion, not in isolation. Once you've got a sound that works, save it. Build an audio effect rack with EQ8, drum bus, saturator, and utility. Map macros like drive, boom, transient, output, and width. Now you've got a reusable DNB kick weight rack you can drop onto old school rollers, jungle edits, darker halftime grooves, or break-led tracks without rebuilding the chain every time. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't overboost the sub. More energy below 60 Hz often sounds bigger solo but weaker in the mix. Don't crank drum bus boom too hard either, because that can smear the kick and hide the snare. Don't saturate a muddy kick before cleaning it up. And don't make the kick wide unless you have a very specific reason, because stereo low end is usually trouble in club playback. Also, avoid making the sidechain pump too hard. That can destroy the old-school feel and push the track toward EDM behavior. The kick should punch, not wobble the whole song. If you want a pro-level variation, try the split body method. Keep one layer mostly clean for the transient, and use a second layer for the body. Time align them by ear, and if needed, flip polarity to get the strongest low end. Another nice trick is micro-envelope reshaping. Draw a tiny dip right after the transient or taper the tail with the clip envelope so the kick feels punchier without changing peak level. You can also create a parallel dirt bus. Send a little kick signal to a return or a separate track. Distort or saturate that aggressively and blend it in just until the kick gains edge on smaller systems. That keeps the main kick clean while giving you controllable grit. And if you really want a workflow win, resample the processed kick once you like it. that freezes the tone, reduces plugin load, and gives you a new audio source you can trim more precisely or duplicate for different sections. Here's a good practice exercise. Load one old school kick sample into a track and make three versions. Version 1 is clean, with just clip trimming and EQ 8. Version 2 adds drum bus for weight. Version 3 adds drum bus, saturator, and utility. Then build a simple loop with kick, snare on 2 and 4, a basic offbeat hat, and a bass note after the kick. Compare which version punches through without overwhelming the bass, which one sounds biggest solo but weakest in context, and which one translates best on headphones and small speakers. Then save the best one as a rack preset. If you want to push it further, test the same kick treatment against a jungle break, a rolling bass line, and a halftime dark DNB groove. You'll hear how the ideal kick treatment changes depending on arrangement density.